two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry. We have covered some real ground today on the program, looked at the presidential race, looked at Utah's 4th congressional district race. We looked at the race for the governor, got some insight from Derrick Brown, chair of the Republican Party, as well as Scott Howell, former Utah state senator. Lots of good conversation. There's plenty still to come. We are standing by. I'll give you a little heads up on what may come. We're standing by for remarks to be delivered by the Trump campaign. A little bird told me it might be Eric Trump delivering some words on behalf of the campaign. Not exactly sure in what capacity he delivers those remarks, but they come right about the same time we learn that the Trump campaign has filed now additional lawsuits, this time against the state of Pennsylvania, claiming that their access to counting locations and polling locations has been limited. We'll see what comes of that. Certainly bring you the latest as soon as it's available. Another race here in the state of Utah, which I'll admit, in full disclosure, has my attention because of the fact that I spent about 5 years working in Washington, D.C., bouncing back and forth between there and here in Utah, working as an aide to Congressman Rob Bishop, who for the past while has represented Utah's 1st congressional district. He made it known that he wouldn't be seeking reelection. And after the results of last night, we now know that Blake Moore will be replacing Rob Bishop as representative from Utah's 1st congressional district. Joining me now is outgoing Congressman Rob Bishop. Sir, how are you?
Fine. I guess a massive write-in for me didn't materialize. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm sorry to say. The write-in campaign didn't work out for you.
Darn.
What does it mean when you hear yourself referred to as outgoing Congressman?
It is strange. There's a touch of nostalgia about it. I have to admit, though, that this last year was so difficult in Washington and chaotic, and the lack of control, or, you know, like, I'm an old school teacher. Everything had to be a syllabus for me. Having everything running by the seat of her pants by the speaker has made Washington very is not a nice place to work this last year. So I'm not going to miss that chaos and just the inability to organize and figure out, like, when you're actually going to vote on a given day. So I'm not going to miss any of that. But I think I'll miss a whole lot of other things, and especially depending on how the result of the election turns out, which right now no one knows.
Yeah. What advice do you give Blake Moore as he charges into this chaos, as you describe it?
It is very difficult to get caught up in the geist of the time period back there. And what he needs to do is remember he is a conservative from Utah. He needs to be rooted in that philosophy. It was helpful to me to have assistance that would help me to remind me of that. Because sometimes you get caught up in the moment of the time and you miss that kind of concept. Utah has a different outlook than many of the other states. And I think Utah's outlook on government is the right outlook on government. And especially if it leads to more limited government and the idea of federalism, which the founders had, if he works simply to those goals, he will do a good job in representing Utah. I think that's what everybody who represents Utah has to do. So it's not just him. It's everyone else that's going back there to to work for the people of Utah. Sure. And, you know, let's face it, who the president is will make a big difference on how that happens, and especially for Utah. Utah would have some unique challenges if Mr. Biden actually is successful.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
You and I had a conversation earlier this morning, and you brought up something that I had, if I'm honest, I hadn't thought as much about as I believe I should have. A good portion of Utah, and in particular Utah's first congressional district, derives its income from energy extraction. That is a big business in the Uinta Basin and elsewhere here in the state of Utah. And we have heard on the debate stage and elsewhere, both from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, that is an area of industry here in the United States that would be greatly challenged. What does that mean for Utah, and how do we combat it?
Well, first of all, Harris is consistent in what she says in the effort of trying to minimize any kind of extraction industry, whether it's oil or gas or just typical mining for critical minerals. Biden has gone back and forth, but also has said some things that would threaten it. If they actually went through with that, the Uinta Basin would be devastated. And I don't think most people in Utah realize how much of our revenue in the state, just to run the state and pay for our education, comes from extraction and especially from mining. Sometimes you might need to have Brian Summers on just to talk about what Utah gains from mining. And that is a source of revenue that could not be made up by recreation or any other kind of industry that would have that opportunity. And so what it would mean is that Governor Cox would have a very difficult time. If he wants to make sure that you have enough money to run the education system and everything else, he needs to stand up for those types of industries, because it means that much to the economy of Utah and to the future of our school kids, which means that as much as civility may be a goal, he's going to have to fight very hard, and so will the delegation have to fight very hard to make sure that Utah is not adversely impacted, which it could be. It could be devastating to Utah's economy, where Harris and Biden's words actually to be put into effect, especially dealing with fracking, which has been done successfully by states for over 100 years.
You mentioned briefly the reality of revenues in that fashion coming from recreation. You say that there's not enough that comes in from recreation to make up for what would be the losses if Biden-Harris policies were implemented. I thought we were the recreation center of the Intermountain West.
Look, a good economy has a whole lot of different elements to it. Recreation has to be an essential element, but it cannot be the only element. And I think those states, look at Hawaii specifically, after 9/11, when the recreation industries and travel was limited, and beginning of the COVID virus, when everyone was staying home, they suffered the most because they were not a well-balanced economy. Utah has good balance to it, but it needs not just the recreation and tourism, but also it means industry, mining, especially for critical minerals, as well as extraction for oil and gas in the basin. Those things have to work hand in hand. And if you eliminate one of those, you put us at risk. And if you eliminate both mining and extraction, then I don't know how well Utah's economy can actually handle that kind of a hit to it.
We're speaking with Representative Rob Bishop, currently representing Utah's 1st Congressional District, but did not participate in the race, announcing his retirement from Congress, will be replaced by Blake Moore. We'll speak with Congressman-elect Moore just after the news. But, Rob, let me ask you one final question before I let you go. Trump or Biden, you have any predictions? How's this going to shake out? You've witnessed a presidential election or two in your day.
Thank you for saying how old I am. I don't think any has been there. There have been a couple of close ones. I mean, 2000 was very close. 04 was close. 68 was extremely close. 60 was extremely close. 76 was extremely close, but not as confusing as this is. Simply because a lot of the structure of how you handle elections were in place for those other elections. So there's a whole bunch of different ideas as to not just the counting of ballots, but when a ballot is actually legal, when it has been legally collected, when it should be legally counted. And that's going to run a whole bunch of races. So there have been a lot of close elections. The United States has come through them. We'll probably come through this one as well. But this is probably much more complicated than any of those other races would have been. And who knows? I still think, well, I don't know. I really don't know. I still think President Trump, to me, looking at the states that are still in play and what his lead is right now in those states, seems to have the driver's seat, but who knows what can happen.
Yeah, we'll see. And we're, in fact, standing by for an address to be delivered by some representative of the Trump campaign, maybe President Trump himself, maybe Eric Trump. We'll have to see. And as soon as they step to the mic, we'll bring you that here live on KSL News Radio. Congressman Rob Bishop, thank you for your time.
It's good to talk to you again, Lee. Take care.
Yeah, always. Talk to you later. All right, that's it for this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back after the news, we will hear from Congressman-elect Blake Moore, who will be, come January, representing Utah's 1st Congressional District, filling in for Rob Bishop, outgoing congressman. That's ahead on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.